Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I'm Paul David, founder and CEO of Literal Humans, joined today by Dan Beck, the CEO and co-founder of 401Go. And we're going to talk about revolutionizing retirement for small businesses. Welcome to the pod, Dan.
Thanks, Paul. I'm happy to be here.
So small businesses, near and dear to my heart. So this is something I'm excited to dig into. By way of introduction, 401Go is a fintech platform that uses integration automation to provide affordable, simple, and accessible retirement saving solutions specifically designed for small and medium-sized businesses. Dan himself is a seasoned entrepreneur who has started or been involved with over a dozen small businesses and startups. He's got a background in information systems and a passion for company culture. He's on a mission to help millions of Americans who are currently unprepared for retirement by fixing the broken traditional 401k model. Hence the 401Go name. Great branding. So Dan, let's jump in. We'd love to understand why the traditional 401k model is failing small businesses today.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's one that I had to answer for myself a couple times with previous small businesses. It's that the industry really, financial services in general, typically focuses where there's assets. And so when you have a large organization with lots of employees or maybe an existing 401k, there's likely millions of assets. And the advisors who are financial advisors who are typically selling 401k plans, they are compensated based off of assets. And so naturally, there's not an incentive for them to pursue small businesses where it's going to take some time for those assets to build. The other thing, too, is they're very complex 401k plans, and the fiduciary risk is higher than any other financial product that an advisor can sell. And so for that reason, if it's going to take them, you know, 6 to 7 weeks, that's the average time it takes to set up a 401k, take on a lot of fiduciary risk for very little return, the incentives just don't align. So that was the primary issue that we set out to fix. Yeah, for me, it really just came down to something that I personally experienced. Having built a number of businesses in the past, and all of them small businesses, I found that the teams that I worked with, they were more like family than employees. We spent a lot of time traveling to trade shows, working together, you know, late nights doing inventory counts, that sort of thing. And so you really get to know the employees, and they become a lot more like family. And so it's just, I feel like if anything, in small businesses, you view them as humans, literal humans, rather than just human capital. And so I think the difference there is for larger financial institutions, they tend to focus more on what the shareholders need and want. And so oftentimes they go where the money is. And as I mentioned before, it's typically upmarket. It's going after larger organizations, corporate America, where there's a lot of employees. And then also they're dealing with very complicated systems where the unit economics make it difficult for traditional providers to go down market and serve a small to medium sized business.
We'd love to understand how you define a culture of caring. Why do you think a 401k is a vital tool for, you know, economic empowerment and building that culture in the modern workplace?
So I'm going to answer that two ways. I'm going to answer it in the way that like resonates with the heart. And then the second way is the way it resonates with the mind. With the heart, it's kind of what I was saying before, where, you know, I viewed employees or teammates at previous companies that I'd built more like family. And just like family, I cared about what was happening, not just at work and what they were doing for me, but what they were dealing with, both at work as well as outside of work, and everything from bereavement and challenges with family to financial struggles as well. And then the kind of, you know, the more logical or maybe business minded response to that is the teammates that I had working with me, they were there to provide value. And as a resource, if you want to think of them as a machine, as human capital, you want to make sure that those resources are operating at peak efficiency. And so if you have a coworker who's at work and worried about a busted transmission or something that's going on at home, then their productivity is going to decline. They're less likely to be their optimal self. And so for that reason, it is just natural for a business owner, whether they're looking at it from a purely business standpoint or something a little bit more personal, to really want to take care of their teammates. When it comes to the 401k, the way that, oftentimes that's a benefit that's reserved for large organizations. And so I think the expectation for anyone working at a small business is they're probably not expecting it. But also when we look at the firmographics or the demographics of those smaller businesses, the employees tend to skew younger, more entry-level, lower wage, hourly wage earners. And they're often the ones that need the most help. What I found is that when I had employees who would come to me and maybe ask for a payday advance, I would generally give it to them, but I also would have kind of a little something attached to it, and that I would give them a Dave Ramsey book on financial wellness and let them know that by me providing this payday advance, they were also allowing me to ask them about personal finances. And a lot of times they were okay with that. And so the idea and the thing that I love most about a 401k is it creates this incredible incentive for them to save. And oftentimes I like to talk about what I call the first dollar hurdle. That's the hardest hurdle to overcome a lot of time for somebody that's trying to kind of take a better approach to personal finances. It's just saving that dollar. And so with the 401k, having an employer match, essentially you're telling your employee, for that first dollar, I'm going to match it 100%. And so with a 401k, with a match, that's a huge incentive to get somebody who thinks about just spending every dollar they make to maybe save a dollar or save $2. And then from there, they get that little dopamine hit of seeing that the dollar they put in really turned into $2, and then it grows over time. And hopefully at some point that resonates enough that we can help to start to change some of those ways they think about personal finance and you know, how they show up to work and with their money.
Yeah, I mean, I love the focus on, you know, behavior change and human, you know, sort of really you're talking about behavior science.
Yes.
Well, one thing we've done for our team is introduce a 4-day work week. We actually got shouted out in Marketing Brew for that. But when we did that, we realized it helped, you know, recruitment. We were, you know, attracting, you know, a more diverse class of folks who maybe they have caring responsibilities, or, you know, we had a young Bengali girl who, you know, was taking care of her parents and used her first paycheck to paint her parents' bedroom. And, awesome. You know, we wouldn't have had that if, you know, we didn't have this setup where, you know, she had that extra day to point that towards her family. So, I really appreciate what you're saying about helping and at least paying attention to those personal challenges that impact work sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, I guess a follow-up there is like, why, if that makes so much sense, right? Like, these are your teammates are providing value. You need to ensure that they're able to work at peak capacity. Why do you think it's so rare or more rare than it should be in terms of that leadership mindset?
I think first and foremost, it's that small businesses are very resource constrained. I remember, you know, having built multiple businesses, those first few years are very scary. You're pinching every penny. And so oftentimes it's easy to kind of take a more short-term view of, I can't afford to offer a 401k. But I love how, you know, you talked about being able to attract talent. And by having a 401k, I feel like you can offer the same or maybe even a little bit lower compensation than maybe competitors that you're trying to, you know, win talent from. And as long as you're a good environment to work, then they'll certainly, you know, I feel like it's a great way to attract that talent as well as retain employees. A lot of people don't realize the cost of replacing an employee is extremely high. You've got the lost productivity of somebody who you were depending on no longer being there, the cost of trying to find somebody new, training somebody new, and then the lost productivity while that new person is getting trained. And so just off of the costs alone of trying to attract and retain employees, a 401k makes a ton of sense. It's just that oftentimes business owners are caught in the day-to-day of trying to figure out, how do I make the next payroll? So we're very well aware of that, and I wish that wasn't a constraint, but unfortunately it is. And, you know, typically the businesses that we see tend to be, you know, a couple of years past that first starting point where, you know, the worry is, will I be able to make next week's payroll?
Yeah. And is that something that you're studying or someone's studying where they're looking at the talent implications of having a 401k and maybe using that to convince small, medium businesses to, you know, jump on board?
We do. There's a lot of research done by, you know, HR organizations and around the costs of replacing and retaining talent. The challenge is that typically the data, you know, and the data set is usually more encompassing corporate America and larger size organizations. And so I think it's a little bit harder for small to medium sized businesses to kind of measure that impact. But from, you know, data based off of the U.S. Department of Labor, we find that an employee is really only going to stick around for about just a little bit longer than 2 years. And so when you look at that high rate of turnover, an employer has a strong incentive to do everything they can to get employees to stick around. You know, and a lot of the evidence, too, that we're kind of basing this off of is just anecdotal evidence. I had a company where we did a lot of warehousing, and it was hard to find warehouse clerks. In fact, I told my warehouse manager if somebody came in and was willing to work, to try to put them to work right away, just because oftentimes if you tried to say, hey, come back next Monday, they sometimes wouldn't show up. And so it's a challenging environment for employers to attract and retain talent. and they need every benefit they can, you know, possibly utilize. And the nice thing about 401k is we've simplified it. So there's not this, you know, strong administrative burden or the another thing that that employer has to worry about to take care of their team or to offer a benefit.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's kind of an employer's market right now? Like, what are you seeing in the market and how's it impacting your business?
It's interesting because we find that at, you know, depending on the industry, the sector, the size of the business, in some sectors, it's still extremely competitive. So a lot of small businesses, these are service-based businesses, there's a strong labor component. And so a lot of the disruption that we're seeing with AI, or rather, I think there's a lot more fear than there is actual true disruption. And we do hear about very large organizations that are finding efficiency improvements. And typically, again, I think they think of, you know, their employees more as human capital. And I think they're proactively, or maybe even probably too soon, moving to, you know, furlough or layoff employees with the hope that AI is going to give them, you know, some efficiency improvements. But in small businesses, that's still, I'd say, a ways off. And so I feel like the labor market, and based off of what I'm seeing, is still a little bit tighter and very competitive for those SMBs. In terms of the, you know, kind of the broader industry and what we're experiencing, we've actually had a lot of tailwinds, both from a regulatory standpoint as well as, and I think a lot of the regulations. So for example, there's over 20 states now that have a law or a rule that requires employers of a certain size to offer a retirement benefit. And so that's created a massive tailwind for us. And in states where those mandates don't exist, you're just finding more employers, more benefit providers, payroll companies that are making it easy to offer 401ks. And so when we look at the growth of that small to medium-sized business segment, it's growing 16% year over year, whereas like the more traditional segment, which is kind of the corporate America, that growth is like 1-2%. So we're definitely benefiting, and we're you know, in the right place at the right time.
We'd love you to kind of walk us through how your automation removes, you know, these administrative burdens that a lot of small businesses face, and talk us through your approach of building a platform that kind of integrates directly into a company's existing workflow.
Yeah. So when I say not your father's 401k, the idea is that it should be fun, and it should be as exciting as we can make financial services. And I know that for a lot of people, just saying financial services, kind of something in their brain shuts off. But it doesn't. I think the biggest challenge is that the industry also oftentimes has a very paternalistic view on how to help employees achieve financial wellness or get to retirement, meaning that they just want to do it for them. And that's kind of that pension mentality of, you just come work here, we'll save the money, we'll invest it for you, and then when you retire, we'll give you a certain amount. What we're hoping to do is get those employees a little bit more engaged and involved in their 401k. For firms where they have an advisor associated with the 401k and that advisor wants to allow it, we can open up crypto funds. And so for somebody who's saying, hey, I want to try something new that I've heard about, can I do this in my 401k? Yes, they can. And we can put some safety guardrails in place with the help of that advisor to make it a little bit more exciting than just, you know, a list of 7 funds with these extremely nerdy names that make no sense to, you know, 99% of Americans. And so the idea is to just make it easy, make it accessible. And so we send notifications through text, not just through email or paper. Just simple little things like that have allowed us to have a much higher participation rate with that same segment that's always struggled. According to the Department of Labor, when you look at the lower quartile of either age or wage because of how tightly they're correlated, that lower 25%, when they have access to a 401k, their participation rates are below 20% historically. For us, that's over 52%. And so I think a lot of that is just the way that we think about the user, how they engage with the platform. And then for the business, obviously, if this is a, you know, a benefit that's as messy and complex as it was 10 years ago when I was trying to set this up for one of my companies, it's a non-starter. It you know, you don't have the time and attention needed. And so oftentimes what I realized is that you can't offer a 401k unless you have an HR expert or maybe like a CFO on staff. And for a lot of small businesses, that simply isn't a thing. And the reason being is, unlike a health benefit where, you know, typically there's some work, some setup work and some deferrals that need to happen, or not deferrals, but withholdings from a paycheck that need to happen on a monthly basis. That's really only set up maybe once or twice a year when an employee's newly hired. But with a 401k, you can take out loans, you can change the amount that you're deferring. on a regular basis. And so there's a lot of administrative burden associated with offering a 401k. And so it's necessary that we have really tight integration with the systems that that employer uses. And every employer that has employees has a payroll system. And so that's one area where we focused a lot of time and attention is in building these really tight payroll integrations. That also allows us to more proactively monitor for non-compliance issues. And so a lot of times the industry approach is you wait till the end of the year prior to doing filings to run what they call non-discrimination tests, just to make sure that the 401k was administered in the way that it should be. And oftentimes you find that the companies don't pass, and it's a lot harder for smaller businesses to pass that because there's fewer employees. And so the denominator being smaller means that a lot of those non-discrimination tests are much more sensitive for a small employer. Because we have that connection to the payroll system, we don't have to wait till the end of the year to run those non-compliance checks. We're running them on an ongoing basis. And so that allows us to more proactively monitor the health of the 401k and make sure that it's being ran properly so that we don't have issues later on down the road. So that's our approach to it, is really, you know, how can you make this possible for a small business to offer? It means that you've got to automate it. You've got to simplify it. One thing that I love is we're venture backed. And when we've had prior investors go out and do reference checks, they'll oftentimes talk to clients. So these are small businesses. And they'll ask them very technical questions that our small business clients can't even answer. And the reason why is because we're doing all the heavy lifting for them. It's just like, you know, I remember when I first learned how to drive a car, it was an old carbureted vehicle. And my dad showed me how to use a timing light to adjust the belt and how to adjust a carburetor. And you couldn't drive a vehicle without knowing how to pop the hood and do some things on the engine. Nobody does that anymore. And that's kind of the same way we think about 401k. You shouldn't have to know all the complexities and ins and outs of running a 401k in order to offer that to your employees. So that's been our approach. How do we simplify it and make it easy for somebody with just 15, 20 minutes of time learning how, you know, 401k works to be able to offer that to their employees?
Love that. I'm glad you mentioned the simplification piece of it, because I feel like it's a critical part of your strategy. Going to kind of move us into growth strategy and bundle like a pricing question into a growth strategy question there. You've got, you know, you talked about removing the need for like a decoder ring to understand pricing, and you've got this, you know, wonderful transparent pricing structure that it looks, you know, different from the industry standard. So we'd love to hear about that and how that plays a role into this roadmap that you have for scaling 401go to reach millions of Americans who aren't necessarily thinking or even ready to some extent to start saving for retirement. So pricing and growth plan, just really small questions to drive us here.
So with pricing, we followed kind of more of a traditional software as a service model, where there's a monthly access fee, depending on whether you come directly with us or you work through one of our preferred partners. It's anywhere from, you know, about $100 to $150 a month. And then you pay a per user fee to access the system. And so this is for the majority of the plans that we do. There is a small asset base fee of 30 basis points. So that's 0.3% annually. In contrast, typically you'll see a much higher asset-based fee, north of, you know, 100 basis points for a more traditional provider. But we're kind of offsetting that with more of a SaaS model. And that tends to be a little bit easier, more palatable for a small business to understand, because oftentimes there are other benefits. In terms of how we distribute, we have some businesses can go directly to us. You can go to 401go.com and set up a 401k in as little as 10 or 15 minutes. And so we still have a fairly large number of businesses that come directly through our website. But most of our business is really distributed through partners. And we look at our partner channels in two distinct buckets. There's the financial advisor. So these are kind of more of the typical incumbent providers that have been selling 401ks for decades. And then the other bucket that we look at is what we call HCM. And traditionally, it's more payroll providers. And one thing that's very unique about the 401go approach is typically, you know, some of these payroll companies, they'll work with 401k providers, but they're kind of these loose referral-based relationships where a salesperson at a payroll company might make, you know, $100 for referring a business. For us, we try to take a more nuanced or an embedded approach where we embed our technology, we work directly with that payroll provider to become kind of more of that default solution. And that actually works out really well, because oftentimes these payroll providers, when they're dealing with a more traditional 401k provider, and so a lot of times the issues that that small business might run into working with a more traditional 401k provider, the payroll provider has to get involved. from a service standpoint, and oftentimes they get, you know, there's issues that the payroll provider has to deal with. Whereas when a payroll provider works with 401go and can embed our technology in their system or build out these tight integrations, it makes it a lot easier for everybody that's involved, as well as a financial advisor. And so we really like that we have kind of this partner relationship with a financial advisor who can bring that human touch, because we feel like the best outcomes aren't going to be just something, you know, just a high-tech platform, but it should be high-tech as well as high-touch. And so we want to have advisors involved, but then also we want those payroll providers involved. And so when we can have a financial advisor, a payroll provider, and then 401go involved in the picture, it makes for an incredible experience for that business, whether they're small or a large organization.
I'd love to ask you a technical question, though, about your growth plan in terms of, you know, DeFi and you know, decentralized finance for our listeners and blockchain. Do you see it playing a larger and larger role in the retirement savings ecosystem? If so, what would that role be? Give us your prediction if you can.
It's very democratizing industry. I still have moments where I'm blown away with how antiquated financial services are in general. A lot of these platforms are old COBOL banking platforms from 40 years ago that have just been slightly improved over time. The industry is very antiquated. I think it's a good thing, really. They're dealing with trillions and trillions of other people's assets, so we don't want them to just adopt any new technology that comes out. They want to sit and make sure that it's fully baked, it's settled, it's understood, and that regulators have weighed in on the impact of some of these new evolutions of DeFi, crypto, blockchain. So personally, I think it's, yeah, I think it's an incredible technology, but I think it's probably, you know, a decade or maybe even more before we see it being involved more in 401ks or just retirement in general.
Nice. And then as we close out here, I have to ask about a couple of things: exits, takeoffs, and landings. So you've had some incredible exits under your belt. Would love to hear about some of the big lessons you've learned from those exits. And you're a certified private pilot. So we'd love to understand about the discipline and perspective required from, you know, for flying, and how that translates into how you operate as a CEO and co-founder.
For me, the why of why I'm an entrepreneur really comes down to curiosity. I love to learn and I love to grow. And there's no better place to do that than in small business. When my brother and I started 401go, we knew nothing about financial services other than our experience as kind of like a retail investor. But it didn't stop us from taking on an industry that we felt was in dire need of better technology, better solutions, and a more empathetic view of small to medium-sized businesses. And so curiosity's always been the focus. I recall my first big exit, about 7 or 8 years ago. And I think if anything, I remember the day after walking, you know, through my warehouse and seeing everything kind of get boxed up and loaded onto a truck, feeling rather empty. And I realized that so much of my identity was wrapped up in the titles and the business and everything else that I was building. And you know, at the time when I was working long, hard hours and I was trying to justify the why of taking time away from my family, it was easy to say I'm doing this for my family. But at that moment when I finally had, you know, it was a big enough exit, I could have retired, but I didn't. I kept working. And so it really kind of called into that core question of why am I doing this? Before, I said it was really to provide financial security for my family. But now that I've attained that, I'm still very much focused on work. And so it was kind of a wake-up call for me to really realize what drives me. And maybe it was a little bit more selfish than I had originally wanted to believe, but it's allowed me to really think about business differently. And so with each exit, I had similar experiences where I think it was less about an impact to a balance sheet or something financial. And for me, it was more a deep answer in terms of like, who am I? What am I doing? And so I love 401go because we are so mission-driven. We're helping people that really need help with just financial wellness in general. We're helping small businesses that do have a culture of caring, that want to help their employees, that maybe have been frustrated with some of the legacy incumbent solutions that are just too complex. And so we have something where we're adding tremendous value, and it's exciting the team that I work with. Now, for that second part, the being a private pilot, that kind of goes along with the entrepreneurial why. It's that I'm curious. I grew up with an airport within, you know, I could jump a fence. My buddy, his backyard backed up to the airport. We could hop the fence and walk out there and sit at the end of the runway. And this was just a small municipal airport back before security is what it is today. And we'd take a lunch and go sit at the end of the airport and watch airplanes fly overhead. So I just kind of always grew up with that in my blood, and I felt that, you know, I wanted to take to the skies. And the thing that I love about flying is it's a lot like operating a business. You can't be just technical in terms of looking at the gauges and what they're saying and what the plane is doing, you know, locations. It can't be just a, you know, kind of a mathematical engineering type experience. There's also that stick and rudder experience where you feel the plane, you hear the engine, you know what's happening to the airplane as you fly it. And the best pilots are the ones that can master both the stick and rudder discipline as well as the gauges and the technical aspect of flying. And so to me, that's business. In those very early stages, oftentimes you're making gut instinct decisions. You're flying the business the way you do a plane with kind of that, just that instinct of the stick and rudder skills. But then as the business grows over time, and this is where 401go is and has been for the past few years, you start to rely a lot more on the data and you start to fly more based off of the instruments. And so to me, flying a plane is a lot like operating a business. There's so many analogies. I think my executive team kind of gets tired of all the analogies that I make and how I can tie everything to flying, from perspective at a 30,000 foot view to, you know, being able to land on a small strip of asphalt. I just love it. So for me, it's, you know, it's something pure. It's something that taps into that essence of who I am and what I do as an entrepreneur. It's curiosity. It's, I wonder what's over those mountains over there. I'm going to go see. So I feel like it was just natural for me to start flying. I'm not flying actively now, unfortunately, just because of the business and how much of my life it takes up. I don't feel like I have enough time that I could dedicate to being flying to fly regularly enough to be safe. But I really look forward to the days when I have a little bit more time and bandwidth to go and poke holes in the sky again.
Nice. Well, yeah, I love to ask pilots whenever I see them, like, hey, what's your favorite airport to land at? You know, just, and they always have an amazing answer. And it's really interesting. And folks who have these incredible mosaic careers like you've had and how that applies to their leadership. So I really appreciate that answer. We'll wrap it up there. I love this episode, Dan, because I think, you know, it proves that even the most complex industries where, you know, you're fighting for that demand and convincing people to do a thing that feels like, you know, a little bit extra, you know, like retirement planning, can be completely transformed when you prioritize people and you leverage smart automation. So I think you're making financial security accessible for a lot of folks who have been underserved for a long time. So really appreciate that. I tell people I have the best job in the world. I get to interview folks like you, or mission-driven founders. So it's absolutely wonderful. Where can folks find out more about 401go and the great work that you're doing on the internet?
Yeah. So easiest place is to just go to 401go.com. And then I always love connecting with other entrepreneurs and helping anyone else along the way. So anyone that wants to reach out, LinkedIn is a good place to find me, Daniel Beck on LinkedIn. So those are ways you can connect with me personally or learn more about 401go.
And Dan, I want to thank you for your time. I know you're a very busy guy. And for our listeners, please leave us a review, give us a 5-star rating so we can keep getting amazing guests like Dan Beck, co-founder and CEO of 401go, onto the podcast. This has been another great episode of Tech Can Save Us podcast, brought to you by Literal Humans. Thanks everybody for listening. And thanks Dan for your time, and have a good day. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you.
We got it.